What does it really mean to be a compassionate person? Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve.
You know, the story in the Bible that is so apropos for a subject of compassion is the story of Jonah. Jonah is the guy who leads the greatest revival in all the Bible, and he's upset about the revival. Why? Because he goes to a place, Nineveh, where he hates the people in the place. Yet God used him in a great way, and God has his story in Scripture to teach us many lessons. One of the key lessons is about compassion.
Have you ever felt that God is calloused and indifferent to the sufferings of mankind? Have you ever secretly believed that your compassion is greater than God's? Truth be told, God is the definition of compassion and cares about the vilest of offenders. This is From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve. Thank you for joining us today, where we're learning the proper perspective that we should have of God's true nature. The message today is entitled, The Contrast of Compassion, and it's from the series, Perspective, Understanding God and Man. For information about today's message or our current series, you can visit us online at fromhisheart.org. Now, though, open your Bible to the third chapter of Jonah. Here's Pastor Jeff to begin showing us the contrast of compassion.
We're in a series called Perspective, Understanding God and Man. And today we want to look at the contrast of compassion. You know, when we have difficulties come into our lives, we lecture God, we call God out, we read God the riot act, so to speak, and we say, God, if you just had as much compassion as I have, then this wouldn't have happened. If you would care, if you would have pity, but you don't have pity, you should have thought about compassion maybe on that seventh day when you rested. Have you ever felt like that? Have you ever verbalized those words? For many of us, we say, oh, I've never verbalized that. But maybe you've thought it. Understanding God and man, getting a proper perspective. You know, I think it's interesting when the Lord introduces himself, so to speak, to Moses, and he tells Moses said, Lord, let me see your glory. And God allowed his glory to pass by Moses. And then God spoke his name, the Lord God, the very first thing he says about himself, compassionate and gracious. God is a God of compassion. James chapter 5, verse 11, that says God is full of compassion and is merciful. We're not full of compassion. We tend not to be very merciful. God is so much greater than we are in terms of compassion, in terms of mercy, in terms of patience, yet we lecture God on how he should get with the program. You know, the story in the Bible that is so apropos for a subject of compassion is the story of Jonah. Jonah in the Old Testament. Jonah, who's a very interesting prophet. He's a minor prophet. You know, there are a bunch of minor prophets, 12 minor prophets. But Jonah is the one that stands out. Jonah is the one everyone remembers. Jonah is the reluctant prophet. Jonah is the guy who leads the greatest revival in all the Bible. And he's upset about the revival. He doesn't like the revival. Why? Because he goes to a place, Nineveh, where he hates the people in the place, the Assyrians. You don't read about Jonah in Hebrews chapter 11, the hall of faith. He's not in there. As a matter of fact, the Jews, they didn't really look on Jonah very favorably. They said in John chapter 7, search the scriptures. Does any prophet come out of Galilee? They were saying that concerning Jesus. Surely a prophet doesn't come out of Galilee. But Jonah was from Galilee. He was from a place called Gath-Hepher, which is in Galilee. But they didn't Consider Jonah. Why? Because Jonah is, he's not a very good poster child for this is what it means to walk with God. Yet God used him in a great way. And God has his story in Scripture to teach us many lessons. One of the key lessons is about compassion, the contrast of compassion. Hey, if you've ever felt like your compassion exceeds God's, then you need to listen extra closely to what the Lord has to say in the book of Jonah. Jonah was written about 67, or the events occurred at about 670 BC. Assyria is the big power. The capital city of Assyria is Nineveh. Nineveh is a city in Iraq today, but back then it was the capital city of the Assyrians. And the scripture says in Jonah chapter 1, verse 1, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. So he went down to Joppa, found a ship which was going to Tarshish, paid the fare, and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And the Lord hurled a great wind on the sea, and there was a great storm on the sea, so that the ship was about to break up. The call comes to Jonah. It's a very clear call. Jonah, living in Gath Hepher, up in the Galilee area, go to Nineveh. Nineveh is about a 30-day journey. It's a long haul to get to Nineveh. Go to Nineveh, and you're going to preach there. You're going to deliver the word there to this wicked city. Now, remember three things about the city of Nineveh. It was great in antiquity. Genesis chapter 10, verses 8 through 10, talk about the roots of Nineveh. It was founded by Nimrod. It's always been a pagan, wicked city. Great in antiquity, great in enormity. Nineveh had about a population of about 600,000 people there. This is an exceedingly big place, 600,000. The Bible says it took him 3 days to preach there, to walk around the city. Great in antiquity, great in enormity, and great in iniquity. It was such a wicked place. Those people were so brutal and so ruthless. They would come against another nation, and they would attack them. And they would kill the people, and they would pile up their skulls in a pyramid. They took one, more than one, they would flay them, just flay their skin off of them, just skin them alive to show, hey, we're the bad boys and you're defeated. One king took a defeated king, and he took a hook, and he pierced his under his chin and through his mouth this hook and a rope, and he put him in his pen, and he kept him like an animal with a hook and a rope through his chin and through his mouth. I mean, they're just horrible, horrible people, and their wickedness had come up before the Lord. Similar language that God uses when he talks about Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities of the plains, where he says the wickedness of those cities had come up to him. That's what was going on in Nineveh, and God sends Jonah there. Well, Jonah doesn't want to go there. Jonah hates those people. Jonah wants those people to fry and die. And so he says, you want me to go to Nineveh? Nineveh's east. He goes west. He hightails it in the other direction. He doesn't want to be anywhere near Nineveh. God send somebody else, because I'm not going. But you know, you can run, but you can't hide. And Jonah finds that out, and we have heard the story, no doubt, about Jonah. There's a great storm. They find out that Jonah's the cause of the storm. They reluctantly throw Jonah overboard, and God appoints a great fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah gets right with God in the belly of the fish, and the fish vomits up Jonah onto dry land. And then we read this verse, Jonah chapter 3, verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. I want you to see three insights from the story of Jonah. Three insights related to the compassion of God. Insight number one, God shows his compassion by giving second chances. The word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. Hey, the first time he went in the wrong direction, and so God gives him a second time. I love the fact that God is the God of second chances. Because you know what? I can relate to Jonah. Maybe you can relate to Jonah. Maybe God has told you to do something through his word, and you say, I don't want to do that. And instead of going with God, you go away from God. You go in the wrong direction. You say, God, you want me to go here? I'm going to go here. I'm going to go in this direction because I don't want to go anywhere near what you're asking me to do. You say, well, what would that be? Well, maybe God says, hey, you know that person you're bitter toward? Why don't you go and get things right with them? Oh, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that at all, Lord. And God asks us to do things and we end up doing the opposite things. You know, sometimes we fall into sin and sometimes we jump into sin. And that's what Jonah did. He just jumped. I'm going to go in the wrong direction. But God wasn't done with Jonah. The word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. Now, remember this about second chances. They're totally undeserved. Did Jonah deserve a second chance? No. No. Now, if I had been God, I wouldn't have called Jonah again. I'd have said, hey, I called you the first time. You went the wrong way. I'm going to call somebody else. If I had been God, I wouldn't have called Jonah a second time. If you had been God, you probably wouldn't have called Jonah the second time. If Jonah had been God, Jonah wouldn't have called Jonah. But God is a God of compassion. He's full of compassion and he's merciful. And second chances are totally undeserved, but God gives them to us anyway because he's gracious and compassionate. And second chances, they indicate that God is not through with us. Isn't that good news? God's not done. Hey, he wasn't done with Jonah. He's not done with you. He's not done with me. He's the God of second chances and third chances and fourth chances and 500th chances. And if God weren't a God like that, then no one could serve him. The scripture says in the book of Psalms, if you, Lord, should mark iniquity, O Lord, who could stand? But there's forgiveness with you that you may be feared. And listen, if you've messed up today, you need to know that God is a God of compassion. And his compassion far exceeds your compassion. God is a God of second chances. And if you've messed up, God has a second chance for you. It's undeserved. Totally undeserved, but it proves that God's not through with you and he's not through with me. And anyone who will today get right with God will see God begin to work in great ways in them and through them. Second insight, God shows his compassion not only by giving second chances, but by responding to repentance. So let's look at what happened to Jonah. It says, now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, chapter 3, verse 1, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and proclaim to it the proclamation which I am going to tell you. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a 3 days' walk. Then Jonah began to go through the city, 1 day's walk, and he cried out and said, yet 40 days, and Nineveh will be overthrown. Then the people of Nineveh believed in God, and they called a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. When the word reached the king of Nineveh, he arose from his throne, laid aside his robe from him, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat on the ashes. And he issued a proclamation, and it said, in Nineveh, by the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let man, beast, herd, or flock taste a thing. Do not let them eat or drink water. But both man and beast must be covered with sackcloth, and let men call on God earnestly, that each may turn from his wicked way and from the violence which is in his hands. Who knows? God may turn and relent and withdraw his burning anger so that we shall not perish. God had Jonah give a very simple sermon. Yet 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown. Yet 40 days and Nineveh will be destroyed. But Nineveh wasn't destroyed. Why? Because God is a God who responds to repentance. That's why. Now remember this, God doesn't want to judge. He wants to save. He wants to save. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life, eternal life. For God didn't send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. I mean, the Lord could have come in and just started condemning and started judging, but he didn't do that. He came to save, and he gives them time. Yet 40 days and Nineveh will be destroyed. Some people get the idea that the Lord somehow gets his jollies from watching someone squirm like a worm in hot ashes, by squashing somebody like a bug, that, oh, that's how God has a good time. Well, that's totally wrong. Totally wrong. The Lord says in Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 32, "For I have no pleasure in the death of anyone who dies, declares the Lord God. Therefore, repent and live." If you repent, you'll live. I'm not going to get any pleasure in you not repenting, because if you don't repent, you and I are born on the highway to hell. What do you have to do to go to hell? Nothing. You just have to keep traveling in the direction you're already going. The Lord stands on the broad road and tries to flag you down and says, don't keep going in this direction. Repent and live. But we don't do that, so many of us. We just keep on the broad road, and then we say to God, well, how dare he send me to hell? God doesn't send you to hell. You send yourself to hell because you don't believe on the only means of salvation. Well, Jonah, we don't know what he preached other than what is given here. Yet 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown. Nineveh will be destroyed. And listen, Jonah wanted Nineveh to be destroyed. Jonah hated the people of Nineveh. They were the enemies of Israel. We're going to find out he doesn't want to go there. Why? Because he hates them, and because he senses that if I go there and preach, God might not destroy them. God might have mercy on them. God might show them compassion and grace. And I don't want that, because I hate those people. So here's the Lord, and he gives them 40 days. Now, if I had been God and they had done all the evil that they were accused of and guilty of, I wouldn't have said yet 40 days. I might have said yet 40 minutes, maybe yet 40 seconds. I mean, as soon as he leaves, I'm wiping all you people out. But God, no, yet 40 days and Nineveh will be destroyed. And Nineveh responded to that. See, God will save anyone who will genuinely repent. It says in verse 10, when God saw their deeds, that they turned from this wicked way, from their wicked way, then God relented concerning the calamity which he declared he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. God looked to see, how are they going to respond to this message? Oh, they're repenting. They're covered in sackcloth and ashes. They're fasting. They're serious about this. I'm not going to destroy them. You say, well, Jonah said God was going to destroy them. Yeah, but God would rather save than judge. And when God has an opportunity to deliver and to save because people respond to him, that's what he does. Interesting, Jesus talked about Nineveh. You know, we like to discount the story of Jonah. We say, no way could anyone, I mean, this story of Jonah is just allegory. I mean, Jonah gets swallowed by a great fish. We like to say Jonah and the whale, but it doesn't say a whale. It just says God appointed a great fish. But there's some big fish that swallowed Jonah. That's what the scripture said. And we say, well, any thinking person wouldn't believe that. Jesus believed that. Jesus said, as Jonah was in the belly of the sea monster for 3 days and three nights, so must the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights. Jesus believed in the story of Jonah as it was given. And Jesus said this to the religious leaders in Matthew chapter 12, "The men of Nineveh shall stand up with this generation at the judgment and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and behold, something greater than Jonah is here." If you genuinely repent, God responds. And if Jonah, now remember this too about Jonah, because Jonah was in the belly of the great fish for 3 days, he probably had some effects of that. You know, he didn't come out the worse for wear. He probably had his skin bleached out by the gastric juices of that fish. He probably looked kind of like an albino. He probably looked different, and it would catch people's eye. And all of a sudden, this guy that looks weird, and surely the news of what happened started to get around. I mean, that's big news when a guy gets swallowed by a fish for 3 days, and you say, well, who's the guy that got swallowed by a fish? Maybe that really bright white guy. You know, because he's all bleached out, that guy. And that guy comes to town, and that guy begins to preach the judgment is coming. And God used all of that to draw their hearts to say, we have to get right. This is a sign from God, and we need to get right. And he's given us 40 days. And who knows, God may relent and turn away his burning anger if we repent. And that's what they did. And they genuinely repented. And God had mercy on them. Do you know that we deal in churches with many, many people who have a false conversion? I mean, people that grow up in the church. Here's the danger of growing up in the church. You get inoculated to the gospel. You hear the gospel and hear the gospel and hear the gospel and hear about the cross and hear about the empty tomb, and it just becomes white noise to you. And it's almost like getting a flu shot. You know what a flu shot is? It's a little bit of the flu. Not enough to get you super sick, just enough to get your antibodies to build up to fight off the flu. And that's how those vaccines work. And so here, some of you have been vaccinated toward the gospel because you have heard enough of the gospel to kind of say, yeah, I'm all right. You know, I'm all right because I walked an aisle once when I was 7 or 8 years old. I prayed a prayer once. I got baptized once or maybe twice. You know, I did all those things. Here's the key question. Have you repented?
Have you honestly and truly repented of your sin? As Pastor Jeff has so clearly pointed out today, today is the day for you to say, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me, forgive my sin, and save me. When you do that from a surrendered, repentant heart, and a childlike faith, God promises to respond by coming into your heart and changing you, a change that allows you to fulfill your purpose in life for the reason you were created, to glorify Him in all you do. And if you'd like to know more about what it means to come to Christ and make Him Lord, please go to fromhisheart.org, click the Why Jesus link. There's a lot of helpful insight, downloads, and more to help you know how to turn to Him and to grow in your faith. And God bless you as you begin your new journey with Christ. But here is some sad news. Some people have listened to today's message and been unaffected by the profound truth presented here. They're calloused to the truth of Scripture, and one reason is that they've fallen for the lies about God and have distorted the picture of who He really is. They think He's hateful or mean or vengeful or jealous or cruel or blind to their plight, or all of these and more. They've turned their backs on God and failed to understand how He wants to relate to them and love them with compassion. This month, we're in Pastor Jeff's series, Perspective, Understanding God and Man, that'll help erase the lies and get a proper perspective of the nature of God and your nature. This series is our gift of thanks to you for your support of any amount from His Heart this month. Pastor Jeff is a volunteer for this ministry, receiving no income from it at all. You can make your gift and request Perspective, Understanding God and Man, when you call 866-40-BIBLE, 866-40-BIBLE, or go to fromhisheart.org and start seeing the loving, caring, all-forgiving God for who He really is. And we hope that you'll also be with us on Monday for part two of this stirring lesson entitled The Contrast of Compassion. Join us then when Pastor Jeff will open God's Word to share real truth, real love, and real hope from God's heart. Here on From His Heart. There is truth, there is truth, there is love. From His Heart is the listener-supported broadcast ministry of Dr. Jeff Shreve. speaking the truth in love to a lost and a hurting world. Remember, no matter what, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Find out more. Go to fromhisheart.org.